How's it going, everybody, and welcome to From the Sidelines. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Chad, Devin, and Noah, and we're going to talk some sports. Now, obviously, it's been a while. We will address that later. This episode's been 2 years in the making, so hopefully this is good enough for you guys. If you do want to listen to any of our previous episodes, you can find those on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as anywhere else you get your podcasts. If you want to follow us on the socials, you can find us at FTSPod on X now. It's been a while, obviously. Before, it was Twitter. I mean, that's something that's happened. So we're on X now. Shout out Elon Musk. We are also on Instagram, and we're going to be uploading these videos to YouTube and TikTok as well, maybe posting some clips. Should be a good time. We still have an email as well, theftspod@gmail.com, if you want to email us or have any suggestions. And, fellas, let's get into it. It's been 2 years. How are we doing? How are we feeling?
I'm just going to say I'm a married man now. That's a lot of has happened in 2 years.
Oh, a lot of round of applause here.
Applause for Chad.
Nice. How's it feel being a married man, Chad?
It's the same.
Nice.
Olivia's going to listen to this, and she's going to love that answer. I guarantee it. That's not going to cause any issues.
Not at all. He's one of a kind.
Gosh, Devin, how are you feeling, big guy? Let's check in on the other brother.
Well, doing all right. Doing pretty good. Still.
Devin, were you at Purdue when we?
I was.
Yeah. So now you're at the University of Kentucky, representing our home state.
A little BBN action.
Yes, sir. I myself, I've been all over the place. I've been traveling a lot of places and doing a bunch of nonsense. And it's good to be back. I'm glad to be back on the air. I apologize if I sound a little bit stuffy. I'm getting over a bit of a flu. Josh even has bronchitis, so we're over here fighting.
It's okay. Our normal listeners wouldn't think anything of it. They fully expect that from you. So
indeed, they do at this point. Yep. They do in this point.
Weissman, good over here for Big J. Glad we're back. Got the bronc going on, but I'm still ready to get this rolling, boys. And I about address this in 2 years. We're back. We're better than ever. And you know what? We brought up UK talking about Devin. Let's get right into it. Kentucky basketball this season. Started out the season, we're like, this is a pretty good team, right? Like, we're looking good. We got, like, that classic Cal era feel again. You know, we're hyped, we're excited. We're like, there's no way we don't win number 9. And then it all goes to hell, and we just lost to LSU. So, what do you guys think about the state of Kentucky basketball this year?
I mean, it's just summed up in 2 words. Fire Cal. That's it. That's it.
Wow. Okay. Coming out hot.
Yeah, we're packing a punch.
I can't do it anymore, fellas. I can't. He's the world's greatest recruiter, but the worst with X's and O's. He can't do it. I can't put up with more one and dones. I can't deal with the fact that we have players on our bench that should be playing 30 minutes, and it's not debatable. It really pisses me off how we have players on our bench like Reed, Rob, and Reeves, who should be all playing 30 minutes each. And all one of them at all times should be on the court at all times. You can even argue 2, but that might get a little tiring on whoever the third's coming in, because that's going to be playing with your reserves a bit deeper. But I really hope they figure out. I've never seen a Kentucky team struggle with minutes like this. Does that make sense? Like, I've never seen Cal struggle to be like, well, Rob's averaging about 15 points a game. He just dropped this 23. I'm going to start Justin Edwards. No, like, you shouldn't be doing that. You just shouldn't be doing that.
How about when he goes on, like, a scoring spree, he'll get, like, 7 points or, like, 3 buckets, and then we're like, all right, time to sit on the bench. He's on a heater. Can't be having that. Sit him down.
How dare you get
That's
high.
What annoys me, too.
How dare you? Like,
I could go on about it.
Yeah. And I would like to say, injuries have hurt us a bit. The loss to Trey Mitchell is massive. But I personally am a Trey Mitchell guy. You could argue if you're not or not. But I appreciate the way you can get rebounds. That's all. I appreciate that.
Here's my thing with Trey Mitchell. At the beginning of the season, he was easily our second best player behind, like, Reeves. And, I mean, it was just working. The small ball, having him at the 5, was working. We were winning games. We even went toe-to-toe with Kansas, who has Hunter Dickinson, even though he went off. But, I mean, he looked like all SEC team. You know, he was playing great. Mm-hmm. And then just lately, playing him at the 4, We haven't been running much offense through him. You can tell it's kind of affecting his play and everything. He doesn't look as good out there. He looks slower on defense. I just think as of late, he's not been that good.
Well, he's been hurt. That's why.
That's fair.
He's been out.
All I know is Rob Reed and Trey are the ninth best trio in college basketball this season, efficiency wise. So I think they got to be out there with Antonio, and that's, you got to keep those four guys on the court 30, 35 plus minutes a game. A dude has been stepping up at the four. I'd go back to the small ball, run that five man unit 25 plus minutes a game. I think that's our best five, gives us the best chance to win. I think it's pretty solid defensively relative to what we could put out there. I mean, you won't have the shot blocking from Ugo, but I just can't watch us run floppy action anymore and just the most archaic offense you've ever seen. Just, we have the spacing, we have the creators, we have the shot makers, and people like Reed Shepard shooting 1-2-3s a game just should not be happening.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree. Reed should be taking way more shots. I
know he should be taking 6-plus attempts a game.
Yeah, I know he's good at other things. I know he's good at facilitating. I know he's good at defense. I mean, but he's the best shooter in the country. I mean, he should be taking like 5 threes a game at least, in my opinion. Like, I don't know why we don't put him in that situation. I don't know what Cal's telling him. I don't know what they're running in practice, but for some reason, he's just not. And when he does, he has a great game. He's worked himself up into a lottery pick. And clearly, I mean, he can shoot the rock like nobody else. But for some reason, he's just, some games, you know, he doesn't shoot as much as he should. And it's unfortunate.
Alabama's going to shoot 25 threes in the first half and make 12 of them. And we're going to shoot 9, and we're going to only make 3 of them. And at least one attempt is going to come from Reed. The rest are going to be coming from, if he plays, Trey, and maybe 2 by Aaron Bradshaw. Get him in there. 3 by Zavon Amir. Like, I mean, it's not going to be pretty. Like, we really need to step it up shooting.
I don't know about the 3 by Zavon Amir. I mean, he's dead. He is not on the team anymore. I don't know if it's just some sort of get him to the NBA kind of hoax or that's going on or something. But dude plays out of his mind first game. He gets some good minutes again. Who was that team? It was like
Vanderbilt.
Yeah. He's a good game against Vanderbilt. Looks good. Puts up rebounds like we need. Puts up points. You know, had offensive rebounds too. We got some second chance buckets like we usually don't. But since then, he's got less than 2 minutes a game, and I don't get it. I don't know if he's still sick or adjusting or what it is, but it's annoying.
I think it changed after that Gonzaga game. As somebody who was there, he looked so slow. Like, he just looked just lengthy, like not even athletic lengthy. Like, he was moving slow, and he was getting bodied by Graham Ake, or I can't even pronounce his last name. Like, I can't.
Some things never change.
I never, ever, ever.
Welcome back. No, I'm mispronouncing names.
Glad to be back, folks. He was just getting bodied the whole game. Like, he could not stay in the post. He's just too weak. He has no muscle on him. He's slow. Like, it's not good. I think it changed after that game.
Yeah, there's a good month there where we were trying to get this guy eligible, and the school was just like, no, we're not having it. We don't want him. And the entire fan base was like up in arms. We're like, let's get this guy on the court. And now that he's here and available to play, it's just not happened for him. I don't know why that is, but probably for everything Noah's just said. But I wanted to circle back around the whole DJ Wagner thing, because it's been a month since this guy has scored in double figures, a whole month. And this guy we've been talking about him for 3 years before he came here. He was supposed to be this next Cal great player, and right now he's just not it. Justin Edwards is not it, and we got Reed Shepard, who's like our best player who can actually score. And I don't know. I guess he's kind of picked up the production from, you know, the loss of what we thought DJ Wagner would be and those guys. But yeah. He's definitely been disappointing here recently as well.
I guess at some point we got to talk about the defense too, huh? Because that's just... we can't give up 15-point leads, folks. That's just not good. It's not good.
They couldn't stop us from scoring, I don't think.
Nope. Not at all.
We give up, what, 46, 48 second-half points against LSU?
I promise you an upward 13 would have got by him. Promise.
I mean,
Devin would do the classic post hook move against, like he does against Josh, and they always go in.
Oh, yeah, really? It goes in. Okay.
Yeah. I'd school Josh in the post. Yeah.
I know Chad said they went over the rim, but I might be bad off. I thought he said they went in.
No, they're money. They're money.
They okay. Sure. No, nobody's questioning your hook except maybe me. But no, I agree. The defense is just it's not there. I don't know what's wrong. It has looked better the past couple games, but you know, obviously we just lost to LSU, who is not a tournament team at the moment, which is just embarrassing. And as somebody who had Kentucky -6.5, I'm a little upset because you go into the half and you're like, this is going to be a 20-point win, and then Cal is just like, I had a feeling this guy Josh bet -6.5, so let's ruin it for him. So thanks, Cal.
Hey, at least you know it could have been some of the best content out there, because minute left, down 4 or whatever, we got the ball trying to make a comeback. Rob's cooking on ISO. You got Josh over here. I don't want the ball in Rob's hands right now. What does Rob proceed to do? Proceeds to make the craziest and-one layup I think I've ever seen. And then on the very next possession, nails an absolute crazy mid-range step-back jumper, hand in his face, crazy ISO possessions. But you got Josh over here. He knows ball for sure.
Okay, I don't want the ball in his hand. My fault.
It was the funniest. It was, no take has ever been exposed faster.
That was the worst.
My favorite take was you going, oh, -6 Kentucky seems free right now.
Yeah, you're up 15. Josh committed the sin. He can't do.
Boy, did I get led astray. No, that Rob that Rob thing was just unfortunate, because literally right after or right before I said that was when he took a terrible mid-range jumper and got swatted out of bounds. I was like thinking in my head, like I could see him doing that again, because you know he is our best player, I think. But he has those moments where he's like a little bit sporadic, and then you kind of like clinch and you're like, ooh, but then he makes it. So it's just like, you just got to full blown trust the guy. And I had a moment where
it was not a good shot, but if we could refrain
from taking like terrible mid range jumpers that are just the least productive shot in all of basketball. But our coach is just like, yeah, just keep shooting those. That's completely fine. Mm-hmm. That's what we like.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. Mid-range jumper just might be dead. Like, I don't think anything, like, outside of, like, a 5 or 6 foot floater is worth a shot, especially contested. Like, you got to space the floor, find three-pointers, find buckets in the paint, crash the boards, and get second-chance buckets, and get out on the fast break. Like, I just think the mid-range is dead.
Yep.
Those are inbound defense. Oh, tried a nickel every time we gave up a wide open dunk off an inbounds play from the other team, and then we never draw anything up. We always just like chuck it, you know, down to half court, and that's what we do.
Adu's down there somewhere. He'll get it.
Yeah, Adu is a tank. I'll talk about something. Like, I wish Justin Edwards specifically would kind of embrace that kind of role like Adu has. Like, if he was playing like Adu, maybe even with a slightly better jump shot. Like, Adu can't shoot the ball. Justin Edwards has been hitting a few threes here lately. If he could just lock in on defense, play as aggressive as he possibly can, crash the boards, we'd be way better off, because then, like, we'd have two people playing now, and they would be two small forwards that would be our best big men, because our best big men don't know how to rebound or box out or anything. But still, I mean, it'd be a better situation than we're in now. I thought all three of you just nodded your head in the exact same way. There's a little look up to the right and just like,
I heard no lies.
That was me thinking.
Indeed.
Yeah, but with all the frustration of this season, where do we think this team ends up in tournament time? Where do we think March Madness is going to go? Or do we think we're still running for, you know, number 9? We think we're Final Four, Elite Eight? Or do we think we're
We're projected as a 6 seed right now, and I am going to go by All Sports News, my trusty sports guy that I've went to the same page for the last 5-6 years. If we were to stay at a 6 seed, we would be end up playing Butler, Gonzaga or Providence, Texas A&M, Seton Hall or Grand Canyon U. And I can see us getting absolutely smashed by that and getting upset. It is sad that I see that. But I can also see us Because the last time we were seated this high, we went to the Natty.
So we might be able to pull something out, like a little Cinderella again. I know Cinderella and Kentucky don't usually go well, but...
I it could also happen that way. It just depends on the matchup. But I'm saying if the seeding stayed right now and we did play somebody like the likes of Gonzaga again, or maybe even Seton Hall again, I would be deathly afraid to play Seton Hall right now. So I would severely think an upset's possible.
Is there a particular reason why you might be afraid of Seton Hall, Noah?
They've been doing really well here recently, shooting. Yes.
That's it. That's all we got.
What? This Seton Hall number one fan over here.
Yeah, I mean, we don't remember what Shaheen Holloway did to Cal.
Yeah.
How soon we forget, you know? St. Peter's coach comes back and gets us for round two.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't see us doing much at all. If we make the second weekend, that'll surpass my expectations. Prime round of 32 exit team, if not getting upset round one. I just don't see it. Just, you don't have the defensive metrics to support a long run. You're not going to have the seeding to get a favorable break, so.
Yeah,
it's just not happening.
Last time they made the second weekend of the tournament was 2019, and for those counting at home, that's pre-COVID, which feels like forever ago. But yeah, you know, second round exits every year, it's just what they've become. It's very on brand for us, and we've not had it since like 2017. It's really been desolate for us, so. Yeah, if we make the Sweet 16 or something, I would be shocked.
And like the hardest thing about it is like we feel this way. We are used to that kind of, you know, first round, second round exit, and where we're getting to the point again with that team. But like this team is still so fun to watch sometimes. Like I there are definitely moments where like I'm like, okay, yeah, no, they're Elite Eight, they're Final Four, they can do it. And then you got LSU, like, you know, that's a round one exit. So it's just the inconsistency is throwing me off. It's hard to gauge what we're going to do. Cal said we're built for March, so he's quoted on that. We'll see. I mean, it does.
We're definitely not built for February. So.
Yeah, we are definitely not built for February 22nd. That's for sure. And other dates in February. But yeah, we'll see. Like, is this job on the line? Maybe.
Absolutely.
Maybe. Lifetime contract.
Good luck paying the buyout.
Yeah. Yep. Well, let's move on. We just talked about our frustrations with the UK team this year. Let's talk some more basketball. We had NBA All-Star Weekend this past weekend. Talk about something else that might be dying. What are your thoughts on the events? You know, it's obviously not what it once was. Like, there's no competition. Slam dunk contest was one of the worst I'd ever seen. Three-point contest might be the best contest now. It's insane how much it's changed. And then, obviously, don't even get me started on the LED court. Don't know why Adam Silver approved that. That was just hard on the eyes. But, yeah, what is All-Star Weekend dead? What do you guys think?
I read something on the internet today, and it was baseball All-Star Weekend is the best All-Star Weekend. And I am going to give you reasons why. It is because it's the only game left where the players are actually playing the game and trying. And they're playing defense. Like, it's the only one that defense has played. And they actually try. And the only thing that would make it better is if they had events for like the outfielders, like longest throw comp or infield competitions or just something of the sort. But I completely agree to that. It seems like the NBA is dead. Hockey All-Star is dead. That's been dead, actually. And then don't even get me started on the Pro Bowl. That can be a whole episode of how redundant and wasteful that is. It's just, I feel bad because NBA All-Star Weekend was something that we all looked forward to as kids. The dunk contest, the three-point contest, playing them in 2K and stuff. Like, I just miss that, and it's dead. It's so dead. Yeah.
You got Anthony Edwards over here shooting left-handed for half the competition, the skills thing or whatever. It's like, what are we doing?
Should we talk about Jaylen Brown?
Arguably one of the worst dunk contest performances of all time.
I'm giving him the worst. I'm giving him the worst.
He was getting rigged to the finals. That's all I know. Just absolute jokes of judges.
Who is that? There was one judge in particular that was incredibly biased, and I forgot who it was. Like the older guy towards the end of the right of the table. I forgot his name, but he was given the worst scores possible. He gave Jaylen Brown's dunk with Michael Jackson's glove. That's it. Like a 49.
That's it.
Bro's got no left hand. Bro's got no left hand.
I don't care. You're an NBA superstar. You can dunk with your left hand. I don't care. Shoot a three with your left hand. Shoot a floater. I don't care. That would be more impressive. But you're dunking with your left hand and you're 6'6". Okay? Jeez.
How's he not get out there and dunk with his left hand, eh? Probably look better.
I'd probably see that better. For sure.
I promise.
It was just insane. Like, and then like the whole bring out like this random 5'3" guy, put him in a chair. Like
he, random 5'3" guy.
Random 5'3".
Guy doesn't know who Kai Cenat is. Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I just learned who Kai Cenat is. Whatever. I don't know who it is. Whatever. But I found out he's 5'3", so that impresses me on the fact that Jaylen Brown can bring out a 5'3" guy, put him in a chair, shrink him to like 4'1", and then jump over him and think it was impressive, and then he added a little...
Oh, no, it's because...
He closed his eyes after.
No, it was because he closed his eyes and dabbed after the play. Oh, dude. Of course.
He was calling back to a dunk.
Of course. No,
the 90s.
No, I'm sold. You're right. The eye closed after the dunk definitely made it. I apologize. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with the All-Star weekend. They had the good thing going with the Elam ending and the All-Star game itself. Got rid of that for some reason. They were competing for charity each quarter. That was a fun wrinkle. The players were trying to win. So, I mean, at the end of each 12 minutes, you were actually getting some good competition. So we just got rid of everything that was doing well. We finally added something new with the Sabrina Steph contest. That was actually fun. Hope they bring that back. That was exciting. But I just don't know what we're doing with the dunk contest. They either need to scrap it or move the three-point contest to be the last thing of Saturday night. We just refuse to keep the things that work and try new things that actually, you know, benefit the weekend.
How would we replicate Sabrina and Steph, though? Like, are we going to just do
Get Caitlin Clark in there next year. Get Caitlin Clark in there next year. Get Kelsey Plum in there.
Good call. Yeah, I'm down.
I'm making a 2v2. Make them do multiple rounds. I don't care. Do anything.
I'm down for that.
Shoot at the same time. Anything. I don't care.
Yeah, okay. I'm down for that as well. I have Clark go up against Steph next year. See what happens.
Also, the tiebreaker rules, just hilariously bad.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Four guys tied, and we're going to have them all shoot for 30 seconds instead of just letting them all go again in the finals. I'm like, what? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, at what point, like, I've heard multiple people say this, but at what point do we consider bringing in a one-on-one tournament to All-Star Weekend?
Yesterday.
All right.
Where's that? I mean, good luck getting anybody decent enough to compete in it. Probably they have too much of an ego; they don't want to lose. But 100% should definitely be in there.
Yeah, no, I agree. Assuming all the All-Stars do contribute and play in a one-on-one tournament, who do you think wins that? Tough question. Very tough question. It's got to be a big man, right?
Is it not just, like, Giannis or somebody?
Giannis
was my... Yeah, but, I mean, he can't shoot at all, so, like...
I think Giannis was a good answer, because, I mean, he's lengthy and quick enough to kind of keep up on defense with some of the shorter guys, and then he's also strong enough to kind of back down in the paint and bully some people, but the question is his three-point shooting, obviously.
Right.
That's where I'm taking Jokic.
It's definitely not Jokic. He would just... You know, he would not take it seriously enough. No,
sure. You're right.
Could be Luka.
He doesn't take it seriously either. I need somebody that's going to compete.
Trey Young.
Well, you see, here's the issue with
Trey Young.
Oh, he didn't have to say that.
What? He couldn't stop me. What?
Yeah, I know. I know. Jokes. Laughter and jokes.
That might have been the worst.
I'm sure it was a joke.
Okay, yeah. Trey Young. That was baffling.
That's an all-timer right there.
Yeah, I mean, the issue, though, is obviously what we were just talking about is that nobody cares. So, since nobody cares, it's hard to pick somebody.
Right.
Have them play for something. Like, playing for charity is how you get these egotistical millionaires to try.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to boost their ego even more, make themselves look better. So give them something to work for and earn, and, you know, add to their accolades even. Like, maybe even, like, give them a trophy. Give them something that they can put on their accolades. All right. Well, with that being said, we just wrapped up some All-Star Weekend talk. Next segment here is for our big guy, Chad. He's very in movies. This could go very bad. We might flame him. We might roast him. Who knows? But Chad's a big movie guy. He's going to throw out his movie suggestion of the week. Is it going to be terrible? Is it going to be good? 50-50. I don't know. We'll see. So, Chad, take it away.
All right. So, great idea to have this recurring segment every week. You know, there were odds. There were different movies laid out there. There were odds set on each movie. I try not to pay attention to that because I, you know, that's Vegas insider stuff. I don't get into all that.
Chad's on Vegas. Left. Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely on Vegas.
But I was looking through which movie I should do for this first one here. Should I do something really good? Should I do something that only I like and I know I would get made fun of for it? Or should I just do something completely just, you know, out of the left field? I ultimately, after much consideration, landed on Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh,
what?
That was not a lie. So Vegas, okay. No odds were listed on that bad boy. Yes.
Oh my yes. God.
My favorite individual performance by Robin Williams. Bro improvised like all of his scenes. And, you know, big Robin Williams fan, RIP. Oh. Josh is just face palming right here.
I'm getting a migraine. There's no way you just said the best Robin Williams individual performance. Dude has never seen Dead Poets Society or Good Will
Hunting.
I have not.
You're right. Well, I think it's better than Good Will Hunting, though.
So. I'm out. I'm out.
You know it's bad. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, and Devin, I'm baffled.
I've seen a couple of clips. It's not one that I've ever, you know, really had much interest in going back and watching.
Well, I agree with the movie choice because I love Miss Doubtfire. I do.
Yay!
I'll throw it on the watch list just because.
You are out of your mind for saying that it's better than Good Will Hunting.
Not the movie, but like just Robin Williams. He's playing an old grandma the whole movie.
That's...
And he's got to like go back and forth. He's like got to be Mr. Loving, Irresponsible Dad, and then he's got to be caring Miss Nanny.
I didn't prepare my rebuttal for such an exquisite taste of a take. Like, I can't...
No, I had like 100 movies that I was preparing for, and Miss Doubtfire was not on the list.
Was not on the board.
Was not on the list. But I will say, like, if Chad doesn't dress up, considering he's such a huge fan, as Miss Doubtfire for Halloween at some point, then this is all for nothing.
I thought it was going to be, like, Knives Out, or if you wanted to troll Devin, say Midsommar, or if you, like, something that you could have trolled one of us, I missed out.
Yeah, you left the speech. I mean, you did a good job.
See, yeah, that's what I was going for. I was going for, like, you know, a Chad 5-star that's, you know, like, that no one else would agree with, clearly, but, like, it's just a Chad movie. It's the epitome of a Chad movie.
All right, well, you heard it here,
folks. That's why this segment is here to stay.
That's why it's here to stay. You're going to you'll get at least a little smidgen of every episode where you get to lose your mind. So there's the first edition of Chad's Movie Suggestion of the Week. Go watch Miss Doubtfire. Email us. Send us a video. Let us know what you think. Do you agree with Chad? Do you agree with the rest of us and probably the rest of the world? Yeah, we'll see. We'll do the segment every week. It'll be fun. Like I said, lose your mind a little bit. To end this episode, we're going to talk some sports betting. Obviously, in the past couple of years here, one of the biggest things to happen to Kentucky is that they legalize sports gambling. So, we've been doing that. We've been having fun with it, making some bucks, losing more. You know how it goes. We picked out some bets.
Yourself.
Okay, well, Chad's racking up. Chad's racking up. He doesn't lose money. Like I said, he's in Vegas. He's in Vegas. Like he's got to have the money. But, yeah, we each picked out some bets. We're going to talk about them for the upcoming days. And this is in no way any sort of gambling advice or financial advice. But, hypothetically, if we were to give you some picks, this is what they would be. So, lose money, win money, that's all on your own. No advice from us. This is what we like. Who wants to go first? What kind of bets we like this week?
I got a little special future play for the listeners. It's a little first episode back. Had to come out swinging. Had to come out with some free money. You know what they say? Give them a lock. I got my favorite MLB future of the year already locked and loaded. It's probably one of my favorite bets I've found shopping the board. Miami Marlins under 78.5 wins on DraftKings -105. Go ahead and stab it. It's a fantastic under. They only won 84 games last year, and they ran probably one of the most luckiest seasons of all time. Josh, in one-run games, they went 33-13. 71% win percentage in one-run games. Incredibly volatile. Incredibly not withstanding in the long run. It's going to regress back to the mean. They're going to return back to the norm. I mean, on average, if you look historically, teams that finish with a winning percentage of 71% or higher in one-run games, they had a fall-off of 12.5 wins the following year. So, I mean, if you just, you know, if you just take the average, 12.5 losses more in the next upcoming season, that doesn't even consider the fact that the only thing they've done this offseason is sign Tim Anderson and me. So, I mean, they got one guy in free agency. They lost Jorge Soler, Sandy Alcantara, out for season with Tommy John. All of their pitchers basically outperformed their xFIP and xERA last season. So I just expect a ton of regression to this team. Their roster, it's as putrid as it sounds. Their bullpen there's no shot their bullpen repeats as good as it was last year. So, I mean, I'm just gonna bake in all of those factors under 78.5. That's the MLB lock of the season.
Yeah, Tim Anderson's only good for catching right hooks. So I don't know how much help he'll be being out cold.
If we're signing the White Sox best players, then you already know you're in for a tough season.
I also have a baseball future bet for those inclined. Arizona D-backs over 83.5 wins. I understand last year that they only made 84 wins and scraped to the pennant via wild card. But the issues that team addressed, or the issues that the team had during that run that ended up costing them in the World Series, where they were just undermanned entirely, unfortunately, they did address. They ended up signing Eduardo Rodriguez, Eugenio Suarez to one field deals with also Jock Peterson and Randall Kachuk. Like, these aren't players that are eye striking, but these are players that can be utility players that can fill in holes along the season and just put in viable lineups. And also, a fun fact, this is going to be the highest opening day payroll for the Arizona Diamondbacks that they've had ever. It's $135.4 million. So if things don't work out that well, they can easily go in and try and make a trade or sign something and maybe even add on as well. So I personally think over 83.5, nobody's believing in them. I'm going to ride the hype train. I think they could actually make some noise again and maybe even get past the wild card into the NLDS.
I have done no baseball prep whatsoever, and it's getting ready to start here in a month, so maybe I should start looking into those after listening to you all. But, you know, there's no lines really more than like a day in advance. So what I came up with was Cavs -4 versus Philly. Philly obviously missing Embiid, and they're on the second night of a back-to-back tomorrow night. They just got whooped by the Knicks, and the Cavs are good. They'll probably ruin my Bucks to win the division bet because, you know, they're just being annoying and hanging around there. Donovan Mitchell doing spider things, and I just look for them to, you know, win this game pretty easily. I'm not scared of, you know, Tobias Harris or I don't know who all is playing for them now. I think Batum is, like, starting again, and they traded for Buddy Hield. I'm not scared of any of those guys. I'm just not. The Cavs are a way better team, so I look for the Cavs to win pretty easily tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. They got Mobley back. They're looking better.
Hopefully, Embiid. Spida plays for you.
Hopefully, you got Spida. Yeah, that's the big thing.
He missed
there
tonight, so let's hope he comes back tomorrow.
Fingers crossed.
I'm not worried.
All right, Josh. I've been waiting for you. Devin's been waiting for you. Chad's been waiting for you. We knew what you were going to be picking anyway. We knew what was coming. Give us those PGA picks, my brother. We need those reaches. We need those odds.
Well, Coming off a winner.
We need winners.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, last week I texted in the group chat, Hideki Matsuyama. Bang. First place winner. Won Devin some bucks.
Yes, sir. 70-1.
Yeah, he can attest to my record last season too. There was a point where I probably picked the winner for 5 weeks in a row. Just about. I was on fire, winning some money for everyone but me. But now I'm here to win some money for me. Obviously not a stacked field this week. It's the Mexico Open. You know, Tony Finau came in as the favorite, and whenever you hear that Tony Finau is the favorite, you know, you gotta kind of question that a little bit. You gotta shake your head, but
you hold your nose.
Yeah, exactly. But I picked this guy. Day one's already underway. He's shooting -3 right now. He's a bit back, but I mean, he's just a stud right now, I think. He's on the rise. He's a young, good golfer. I've got Nikolai Højgaard. This season he's yet to finish outside of the top 40. Got second at the Farmers Insurance Open, you know, tied for seventh at the Dubai Classic, and his swing is just so smooth. And especially on this field, you need somebody with a smooth swing because, you know, the fairways are tight. It's supposed to be pretty windy this week, and you need somebody who can drive the ball. He can do all of those things. Only thing that you got to question is his putting. His putting isn't very elite, but he can do everything else, and he's just only getting better. So, Nikolai Højgaard, a win, top 10, top 5. I'm taking him to win. I like it. I think it's a lock. Another guy, you know, he's another young one on the rise. I think this year he's going to win at some point. It's back a little bit, but he's got 2 days, 3 days to come back. Be on the lookout for Maverick McNealy. All right, maybe not in the Mexico Open. You know, he's -1, but he still has time to come back. But in the future, keep a lookout on this guy. He's got 3 top 40s in a row. You know, he got 6th just this past week at the Phoenix Open, which is a much, much heavier, much more stacked field. And his putter is butter. I mean, like you see a guy who can put the ball like that. I mean, they're destined to do good things. So those are my two guys. Another guy I like is Matt Wallace. He's been doing good in day one. He looks like he's going to be consistent throughout the next few days. So take a look at him as well. Hopefully one of those guys wins for you. But those are my golf picks for the Mexico Open.
Nice.
Yes. Højgaard is currently +125 just to finish in the top 10 right now. So you're still getting plus odds on a top 10 finish.
Yep,
12-1 to win. So,
all right, fellas,
that's what we came for. That's what we waited for.
You could have predicted
every week. I sit there just wait idly as I blow up Josh's phone asking for PGA picks. So,
yeah, and it's like +10,000 that I get them to you before 10 p.m. on Wednesday.
yep.
But you still get them nonetheless.
Wednesday night, I'm getting my PGA bets in.
You still get them nonetheless. Well, boys, I think that was a good episode. Glad we're back. Good to be back. We're going to get back into it, do this regularly. Throw some clips out there. You obviously see this new little setup here. You can see the four of us. We're going to be on camera and looking pretty for you guys. It was a good time.
Run up the YouTube channel for sure.
Run up the YouTube, maybe do a little bit of TikToks. Devin, do you want to tell them a little more about our socials and wrap this up?
Yeah, you can follow us on X, you know, and Instagram at FTSPod. So go show our socials some love. Let everybody know we're back and better than ever. And like I said, go follow our check us out on YouTube at From the Sidelines. And we'll be making some TikToks too. So if you want to go ahead and get early on that train, you can find us on TikTok as well at FTSPod. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, anything you want to see in future episodes, we got some stuff planned in this return, so feel free to send us an email to theftspod@gmail.com.
Let me know how Mrs. Doubtfire was.
Okay, bye. Have a great time.